Join us now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Today's message was preached during the 2004 Bible Conference. Our speaker today is Dr. Travis Smith, pastor of Hillsdale Baptist Church in Tampa, Florida. The title of his message is A Call to Integrity. The text is from the book of Genesis, chapter 39.
Would you take your Bible and turn with us to Genesis 39 this morning? And as you're turning, allow me to say how much we've enjoyed being with you. It's been a privilege to walk about the campus, and to be honest with you, my wife and I have prayed over the years that this university would stand faithful and true, and that it would be a place that we could send our children with confidence. And I have to admit, being here this week has at times brought tears to my eyes as I've seen that God has wonderfully answered our prayers. Over the years, I've prayed often for Dr. Bob Jones III, that God would give him vision and give him direction, give him courage. And then prayed for the administrators and faculty and all those that work behind the scenes. I realize that you work at great sacrifice, that you receive here a fraction of what you would earn in a secular calling or a secular setting. And as a dad, I want to say how much I stand in awe of your sacrifice. Now I'm looking ahead and praying that God will cause this school to be strong. And 20 years from now, when my grandchildren are looking for a school, that Bob Jones University will still be standing true as we wait on the Lord's return. I want to say I appreciate all those again that work behind the scenes. Share with you something funny, and I was just for sure that Dr. Bob is going to find out about this. I received a phone call yesterday morning, and someone from the dining commons said, "We would like to deliver breakfast for you tomorrow." And my first thought is, yeah, right. This has got to be a joke, delivering breakfast in the morning. And the lady, she was so kind, and she says, "But I have so many young people in the student body. I have families in Greenville." And I thought, you know, they'd like nothing better than to set me up for a big one. And so I says, "No, thank you," and I hung up the phone. I came to chapel yesterday morning, and a man much kinder and sweeter and more trusting than I, Dr. Taylor, stands in. He begins his introduction, and he says, "And thank you so much for the breakfast that was delivered this morning." My family looks down the road at me like, "I cannot believe you, Dad." And so anyway, I went back, and I'm preaching on integrity this morning. And I thought, how can I stand up and preach and there is someone somewhere on this campus that I have insulted, I've offended, I did not believe them. And so I started looking for them. And finally, I was put in contact with them on the phone. And in great humility and embarrassment, I said, "Would you please forgive me and deliver breakfast tomorrow morning?" No, I didn't say that. They were actually kind enough to deliver breakfast, but it didn't end there. This morning, my breakfast arrived. Two ladies, lovely, smiling, and we took our tray of food into the room. They were gone, and we raised up the cloth. There were two glasses of water, four hills of bread dried out, two bowls for oatmeal, and that was it. My wife is looking at it, and I'm thinking, you know, I deserve this. I deserve this. They were kind and gracious enough to knock on the door a little bit later and come back smiling. And they actually had a wonderful breakfast for us. So, anyway, I was afraid Dr. Bob was going to find out, though, before I could get to them. You know, it's just one of those call slips, and now it's an email that you get, I understand. But praise the Lord, they were kind and understanding. A call to integrity. Genesis chapter 39, and I want to read through this passage and then open up with some words of introduction. If you would follow with me, Genesis 39, beginning to read at verse 1. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, brought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph. Several times in chapter 39 you will see that phrase. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house. And all that he had, he put into his hand. And it came to pass, from the time that he had made him overseer in his house, and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well-favored. That is, he was handsome, he was well-built. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." But Joseph refused. And he said unto his master's wife, "Behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee. Because thou art his wife, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" And it came to pass, as he spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. Now you know the rest of this story here concerning Joseph and how she day after day tried to entice him. And finally she set it up in such a way that all the men were out of the household. And she chose that moment once again to physically attack Joseph. And Joseph, being a man of integrity, fled from out of the house, leaving in her grasp his coat. As a result of that, she decided to have vengeance, not only on Joseph, but she also decided to shame her husband. And she began making remarks about, look at what this master, this man, this husband of mine, has brought this Hebrew into my house, and now he has attacked me. He has shamed me. Well, Potiphar comes home at the end of the day, and I've often thought that Potiphar must have been heart-sickened. First of all, I think a husband would know the character of his wife. I think the men and the women that were servants in the household, they knew the character of Potiphar's wife. And I think his sorrow was not only one of embarrassment, but I think it was also a sorrow that a godly man of integrity like Joseph would now have to be laid aside as a direct result of this woman's attacks upon him, not just physically, but verbally upon his character. Would you follow with me, beginning over in verse 20? And in verse 20 we read, "And Joseph's master took him and put Joseph into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison." Notice in verse 21 though, "But the Lord was with Joseph, and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it." Verse 23, "And the keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper." Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for the privilege that it is to stand before this great crowd. Lord, for the special opportunity of speaking to these students full of talent, abilities, aspirations. Lord, that you've laid on their lives a calling, a holy calling. And Lord, we would pray today that they might, as I did, sitting in their place, would take some lessons from the life of Joseph, of being a man of integrity. And Lord, that you would raise up out of this college a new generation that will one day take our places as we labor and as we grow old. that you will call a new generation that will labor faithfully for you. Now, Lord, we pray that you will bless the study of your word now, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. If you take notes in chapel, and I hope that you do, I've been taking notes all week long, wanting to write down the principles that later on I will be able to go back, and as I prepare messages, I'll actually be able to review some of the things that I have studied this week sitting in chapel. But I want you to notice as we study this passage that we see again and again this expression, the Lord was with Joseph. And my challenge to you this morning is that you, students especially, and you have your life ahead of you, that you would desire in your life the character that is a portrait of a man or woman who walks with the Lord. We are living in a day today that there is a lack of integrity throughout our society. Integrity is lacking in the high rises of Wall Street, and unfortunately, integrity is lacking in the pulpits of the church on Main Street. In the last few weeks, I've watched with interest the trial of Martha Stewart. As you know, she began as a homemaker, and under her guidance and really under her name recognition, she ended up building a multi-million dollar mega media empire. She was a woman that really became the very standard of success for the American dream. But in the last weeks, we've watched as she was convicted on all counts for insider trading. And then not only for the insider trading, but for all the lies and the deceit that led up to her conviction as she tried to hide that which she had done in secret. But of course she failed. It is interesting that the end result, by her own words, was that this insider trading at best saved her only $20,000. And yet she sacrificed much more than dollars. You see, her empire is built on her name and her integrity in the marketplace. Her TV program that was broadcasted daily, the magazine that bears her name, the home line products, all of which carry the name Martha Stewart. This empire was built on the basis that she was a woman who stood for integrity. And when she was convicted, not only has it brought an end of that testimony of a woman of integrity, but it is also hurling, it would appear, to an end the empire that she built. I want to challenge you this morning with this thought if you're taking notes. Integrity takes a lifetime to establish, but it can be destroyed in one sinful, foolish act. Let me say that again. Integrity takes a lifetime to establish, but it can be destroyed in one sinful, foolish act. There were two authors several years ago by the name of Patterson and Peter Kim, and they went about doing interviews that were anonymous interviews. And the name of the book was The Day America Told the Truth. Allow me to share with you three facts that they found in that survey. The first was this, that there is no longer any moral authority in America. They wrote, Americans are making up their own moral codes. Only 13% of us believe all the Ten Commandments. 40% of us believe in five of the Ten Commandments. And they write this, there is absolutely no moral consensus in this country. Concerning Americans being dishonest, the authors wrote again, lying has become an integral part of our American culture. We lie and we don't even think about it. The authors found in their survey that they estimated that as much as 91% of Americans lie on a regular basis.
Concerning marriage and family, they wrote, "We have lost faith in the institution of marriage. A third of married men and women confessed to us that they had had at least one affair. 30% also confessed that they no longer loved their spouse." You see, we are a nation that has lost our integrity. But the question is this: have God's people also lost integrity? Consider this. What is integrity? Integrity is this. It carries the meaning of wholeness or completeness or entireness. Integrity involves all that you are. Integrity demands this, that either a man is honest in all things or a man's honesty is suspect in all things. One author wrote this: "One of the realities of life is that if you can't trust a person at all points, you cannot trust him or her at any point." Growing up, one of my favorite desserts was pound cake. Mom would make a pound cake, and we as children, my brother and sister and I, we would sit and wait for the opportunity, not of just eating the cake, but we would wait for the opportunity of licking the beaters. Have you ever done that? Lick the beaters and lick the bowl. And fortunately, there were two beaters in one bowl. And so we would come to a decision. We would divide it up. But there was nothing better than licking out the beaters and getting off all of that sweetness that was going into the dough. Let me share with you this. What if Mom had decided not to use the mixer? What if she had taken out the cake pan and put all the ingredients for the cake in the cake pan, turned the oven on, set the timer, put the cake pan in the oven, and wait until the timer goes off? And she pulls out the cake pan. But listen, what would be in that cake pan would not be something we'd want to eat. Why? Because she had failed to mix the ingredients thoroughly. Can I say this? Integrity touches every area of your life. Every area of your life is touched by the fact of whether or not you are a man or woman of integrity. Take your Bible and turn with me to two passages of Scripture. Matthew chapter 6 and Matthew 22. Matthew chapter 6 and Matthew 22. As I was listening to the messages earlier in the week, there was a reoccurring theme that I was hearing. And in fact, in one particular service, I heard the word integrity mentioned several times. It was mentioned when the offering was taken. It was mentioned in the prayer time, and it was mentioned in the message. And as I was sitting there, my mind went back to the fact that I had recently preached through a short series on being a people with integrity. And as I listened to that, I realized, you know, the challenge really is for us, and especially for you students, that you're in your youth and you're still really setting a direction for your life, that right now, that you would determine in your heart and in your soul that you would be people of integrity. Let me share with you three areas that touches our life in this issue of integrity. And they're found in Matthew, if you would follow with me, Matthew 22. And I want you to read with me, beginning with verse 35. This is the setting where the Sadducees had questioned Christ, and now the Pharisees approaching to question Him as well. And in verse 35 of Matthew 22, one of the Pharisees, one of the lawyers, approaches Christ with a question. Let's read together. "Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked Him," asked our Savior, "a question, tempting Him and saying, 'Master, which is the great commandment in the law?' And Jesus said unto him, 'Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind.'" Well, let me share this with you. If you're taking notes, integrity involves the whole person. And if you'll notice in the verse that we were just reading, you'll notice three areas that were touched upon. As I, as a believer, would give my life to the Lord, And I would want to be wholly given over to Him as a living sacrifice. I will identify with Him in these three areas. First of all, I will be a man of integrity because I am single-hearted. Look at verse 37. Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy what? Heart. What is the heart of man? It is the very seat of your affections, of your thoughts. It is that which drives your thoughts and really, ultimately, is the rudder or direction of your life. As Christ is answering, and He is saying this, the first thing that is going to be true is that you will love the Lord your God with all your heart. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8 says this, Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. That is, a single-hearted believer has a heavenly focus. But notice also in verse 37, not only is a believer with integrity single-hearted, but would you also notice that he is single-willed? Notice again verse 37, And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and then with all thy soul. That is, that there is a will that is wholly committed to following after the Lord. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he'll hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. As you are in this institution, whether it is as a freshman or ultimately as a senior and you will be graduating in 2 months, you must decide who and what it is that you will serve. If you're going to go out into life and be a person of integrity, your heart is going to be single for God. Your will is going to be dedicated to pursuing His desires for your life. But verse 37, a third thing, and we see this again, with all thy soul, and finally, with all thy mind. You could put in there actually single-minded or single-eyed. You know, the eye is the gate to the soul. The eye is the gate to the mind. And as I set a guard before my eye, I am also protecting ultimately the direction that my life's course will take. Young people, I challenge you. Be men and women of integrity. Go back with me to Genesis 39 now. And I want you to notice with me some principles from the life of Joseph. When I was a young man just beginning in ministry, Joseph was one of those men that really was my hero in the Scriptures. Now that I'm 47 years old and I'm in a building process and I'm leading people and I've sold the auditorium. Right now we're a church meeting in a public school. I've decided that Moses is my hero, you know. Crossing the Jordan is just praying that I'm going to be Joshua on the other side. But as I went through life, it's interesting. I have areas of my life that I had different heroes. When I was going into ministry, Joseph was my hero. Allow me to tell you why that is true, okay? First of all, consider this if you're taking notes. Integrity defined Joseph's character. Integrity defined his character. And I would put the quality behind that. He was true. That is, he was true and he was faithful. As a son, he was faithful to his father. As a slave, he was faithful to his master. It is interesting that as a prisoner, he was faithful to the keeper of the prison. And as the one that would stand beside Pharaoh, he was faithful to his service. You see it throughout of his life, this faithfulness. But listen, it is driven by his faithfulness to God. Look with me again, Genesis 39 and verse 8 through 10. But particularly, I want you to notice with me, verse 9. In verse 9, there is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath Potiphar kept back anything from me, but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Listen, whether it was as a son who was favored, or as a slave who would be falsely accused, we follow throughout Joseph's life, he was true because he was a man of integrity. The second thing I want you to notice is this. And not only that, but integrity shaped Joseph's circumstances. He was trusted. The first is this. Integrity defined Joseph's character. He was true. Number two, integrity shaped his circumstances. He was trusted. Listen, Joseph was not a victim. We're living in a day and age that everyone seems to be a victim. When I sit in an office sometimes and I'm counseling, either with young people or I'm counseling with married couples, one of the things that you're going to find is that they always have somebody else to blame for their problems. But Joseph went through his life not as a victim of his circumstances, but instead, as we look at Joseph's life, the circumstances were things that were shaped by who he was. He was trusted. One of the things that we see about Potiphar, he noticed that Joseph was different. Why? The Lord was with Joseph. When he is in the prison, the keeper of the prison notices Joseph's different. Why? Because the Lord was with Joseph. As you sit in this auditorium this morning, you come from backgrounds that are as diverse as any I could possibly describe. But I would share with you this morning that God is working in your life as an individual to shape you to serve Him in life. Whatever the circumstances, whatever the trials, we believe this, that God is working all things together for good. Do you believe that? Do you have confidence in that? That God is working in your life, regardless of what the circumstances might be, His perfect will for your life. Your calling is to love Him. It is to pursue Him and desire that His purpose be accomplished in your life. And that is being in conformity to the likeness of His Son, Jesus Christ. Thirdly, notice this. Integrity defined his character. Integrity shaped his circumstances. Number three, integrity was evidenced at Joseph's spiritual crossroads when he ran from temptation. It's interesting as you look at this passage here, you actually see four steps in his character or his integrity being seen there. This woman, Potiphar's wife, was a spiritual crossroads in Joseph's life. And I know this is not new to you, but notice with me again four things regarding his running from temptation. The first is this in verse 8 of Genesis 39. It says of Joseph, but he refused. The word refuse there is this. He utterly refused. There was an emphatic no. He would not even trifle with the temptation. Not only did he refuse, but also you would notice in verse 8 and 9, he reasoned. That is, he was a man that he realized this is his master's wife. And there was a wisdom that was guiding him in his refusal. But not only that, but in verse 10, you'll notice that he resisted day by day. And the Scripture says, and Joseph hearkened not. And so we have that he refused, he reasoned, he resisted. But verses 11 and 12 says this also, that he finally needed to run from temptation. But I was in school here at Bob Jones, and I came as a young kid, literally from the farm. And I arrived here, and I was overwhelmed as a 16-year-old kid. The fact that I'm standing up here is an incredible miracle of God. I was the student that you would have turned in the annual. I can't remember what you call that now, but you would turn in the annual. And I was not in the who's who. I was in the Who's He section, you know? The one with all those little pictures, and later on in life they'll get a magnifying glass out and look at that and say, who is that guy? But you know, I found this over the years, that some of the ones that I looked up to that were the who's who, the ones that were the leaders of the student body, are often today the ones that are the greatest tragedies. Some of you, with all your talent and your abilities, and you're graduating this year and you're stepping out into life, and maybe already there are all types of job offers that are just waiting for you. And I would say to you, you are particularly one that Satan has in his gun sight. He is going to attack you. And if you are not a man or woman of integrity, you will surely fail at the spiritual crossroads that you're going to face. Now quickly, I want to close with some principles. Working with teenagers for many years, one of the things that I always wanted to do as I came to the close of a message was to give you something to take away that you could, in a sense, hang your hat on. A truth that is going to stand the test of time. Allow me to share that with you. Here it is. Joseph's actions were tied to eternal, unchanging principles. That is, his choices, his attitudes, his actions were tied to eternal, unchanging principles. And they were not dictated by the moral standard of his society. As you go out into life, someone or something is going to drive your decisions. And I would share with you, that thing should be the eternal, unchanging Word of God. Consider some thoughts then. Joseph's character was not shaped in Egypt. It was not shaped in Egypt. When Joseph arrived in Egypt as a young man, perhaps even in his late teens, Joseph was a man that was away from his family. He was away from his father. He was away from his brothers. And he was going to be facing choices in life that mom and dad could not reflect on or guide him in. Joseph, when he arrives in Egypt, this great place of wealth and power, going to the home of Potiphar, and they found homes that in Egypt that would have been 2 and 3 stories tall, and perhaps there were dozens of servants in Potiphar's house. And Joseph, as he arrives on that scene, his character is not shaped by Egypt. Instead, it was tested and revealed in Egypt. When you're at Bob Jones University, it is so easy to fit in, isn't it? You dress alike, you walk alike, you look alike, you eat alike, you do everything alike. But it doesn't necessarily evidence who you really are. And I would say to you, as you leave this great institution, who you are will be evidenced outside these walls. The character of Joseph's life was tested and revealed in Egypt. A second thought that goes with that, Joseph's character was consistent. It was characterized by godliness. And we read several times this, the Lord was with Joseph. I want to close with these thoughts. 4 principles or 4 ways that you can develop integrity in your life. And I would ask you today, are you a man or woman of integrity? Is your word true? Can you pass through the test of trials and people place confidence in you that the Lord is with you? Quickly, 4 principles. The first is this. I used to hear this preached here. Do right. It's a simple 2-word phrase. Determine in your heart that you will do right. That you will do right regardless of the circumstances. That you will do right regardless of the cost. That you will set your heart to do right, even if it means a personal sacrifice, that you will determine to do right. Number two, be honest. Be honest. But speaking the truth in love. Be honest in what you say. Be genuine. Live in such a way that you can look in the eye of your leaders and of your teachers and look in the eyes of your fellow students and in the eyes of your parents and look them in the eye and determine in your heart that you are going to speak honestly and you are going to speak truthfully. One of the things that I have learned in life is, listen, if I tell the truth, I'll never have to pause in answering a question when I'm challenged. Number three, not only be honest and do right, but thirdly, be above reproach. Be above reproach. That is, be genuine. Be genuine. Have nothing to hide. Why would an Egyptian master take all that he owned and place it in the hands of Joseph, a Hebrew? And the answer is this. He had watched Joseph's life and he had seen evidence in his life, integrity, that character that a man can put his trust in. So be honest, be above reproach, do right. Fourthly, be a man or woman of principle. Determine that God's Word will be the guiding light of your life. Now let me ask you, are those things true of you? Have you determined in your heart that you will do the right thing? And it begins with this. It begins with your walk with the Lord. It was said of Joseph, the Lord was with Joseph. And I would ask you, can that be said of you? Can it be said of you that there was a time and a place that you put your faith and trust in Christ alone? And that you have determined in your life that there is truly no other foundation that you'll build your life on save Christ and He alone? Close with an illustration. The story is told of a man that was a brigadier general in the Revolutionary War. He was a great warrior and a great leader of his people, and his men had great confidence in his leadership. And during the course of the war, this brigadier general had the aspirations of being promoted to major general. But several times, men less able than he went above him in promotion. And this man began to grow bitter and angry in his soul. General George Washington realized that this man had been slighted, that he deserved the promotion because of his faithfulness in his leadership, and he did promote him to be Major General. But the problem was that there was a spirit and root of bitterness that had already taken seed in this man's life. And when the British approached him with an offer of not only being willing to forgive him for going along with the revolutionaries in the war, but actually offered him a promotion to Major General if he would side with them. And this man decided that he would turn against these United States. And committing treason, he worked to be able to turn over the great fort that was at West Point. Unfortunately for our nation, his treason was discovered before it was too late. However, he was able to quickly escape out of our country over to England. If you were this day to walk over to the Cadet Chapel at West Point, you'll notice on the walls plaques that date to the 1820s. And on those plaques are the names of men that have been honored, their rank, their birth, and their time of death. But on one plaque, there is no name. There is the rank Major General. There is the day of his birth. And there is the day of his death. But his name is not honored in those hallowed halls. His name was Benedict Arnold. You see, integrity takes a lifetime to establish, but it can be destroyed in one sinful, foolish act. I ask you today, if you will not rise up and be a generation that has wonderful potential and talent and abilities, and if your generation will not be a generation that will set a new standard for integrity.
You've been listening to the Chapel Hour coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker was Dr. Travis Smith, pastor of Hillsdale Baptist Church in Tampa, Florida. For a cassette tape containing both of Dr. Smith's Bible conference messages, send a check for $6 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614. Be sure to mention the name of the speaker and today's date. The Chapel Hour has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.